you could hardly wait for it. Anybody? Maybe it was your birthday, maybe it was Christmas, maybe it was a wedding or graduation. For some today who we've recognized for their achievement of graduation, I have no doubt that sometimes it may have seemed like a long time in coming, not only for the graduate, but for their families. Amen? I know that was true for me. But you came to understand that if you could just stick with it, it would eventually happen, and the reward for that would be there at the end. So today we celebrate the milestone with you and your families. You have arrived at one destination, an important one, and now you are beginning the next chapter of your journey. It is an exciting time, and yet in some ways it can be stressful and maybe even a bit frightening as you think about taking the next steps forward. As I reflected this week on our text today and on Luke's two accounts of the ascension, and yes, there were two of them. One of them last week we looked at was in Luke chapter 24. This one is in the first chapter of Acts. It's interesting as you look at both of those side by side to notice the different responses of the disciples to this event. In Luke 24, we're told that the disciples are joyous and they go back to Jerusalem to continually bless God in the temple. But in Acts chapter 1, we don't see them as particularly joyous, do we? We're told that they just stand there staring up into heaven as Jesus goes out of their sight. What is going on with them? Are they stunned? Are they nostalgic? Are they afraid? We don't know. But that's when the two guys in white show up. No, it's not white jackets, but white robes. They show up and they tell them to basically get a grip and do what it is that Jesus told them to do. To go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Really hard. We don't like it. Especially in our culture. No, we are all about instant gratification. I want what I want, and I want it now. But in our lesson today, we have Jesus' command to wait. What does it mean to wait? What is its value? And what can it mean for us as followers of Jesus to wait for the promise of the Spirit? Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we do give you our thanks today for this time to pause, to reflect, to take a breath from our busy and frenetic activity in our lives, to listen again to your word and to consider what it might be saying to us. And so I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this day might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Waiting. There's all kinds of waiting that we see in the Bible. And I want to talk about three types of waiting that we see in Scripture. First, for example, there's the kind of waiting that is filled with anticipation. Anticipation. Now, for hundreds of years, the Israelites had been waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for a Messiah. After being conquered by the Babylonians and then by the Persians and then by the Greeks and then by the Romans, the Israelites were waiting for the great king David's even greater son, that Davidic king who would be able to lead them into freedom. This, of course, is not the kind of Messiah who came. But even 40 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, it seems that the disciples are still expecting this sort of Messiah. Go figure. I mean, in verse 6 of our reading today, they ask, Lord, is this the time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? I wonder if you've ever had anything in your life that you've been waiting for with great anticipation, thinking that it will be like one thing, only to discover that it's something totally different. Jesus tells them that the Messiah will be a totally different sort of Messiah than the one they have anticipated. Here's what he says. It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set in his own power. In other words, you need to get off of this old bandwagon, guys. This isn't what it's about. How many times do I have to tell you? That's not why I came. It's not about me coming to fix things politically to return Israel to its former glory. That's not it. No, here's what's going to happen. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm sure that probably all of you have heard the old proverb, if you want to make God laugh, what do you need to do? Tell God your plan, right? Your plans. But God says to us in the Bible that we are assured of good plans that God has for us. Jeremiah said, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So here's my question. Are you open to God's plan for your life, even if it's different from the one you anticipated? A second kind of waiting that we find in the Bible is the despairing waiting of Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Now, what happened during that time and that period of waiting? We're told that the disciples go back to the upper room where they lock themselves in because of what they called the fear of the Jews. It was basically this fear that what had happened to Jesus, what they had seen happen on the cross, was going to happen to them. And so they're frightened and they lock themselves in the upper room. I wonder if you've ever experienced that kind of waiting, where you're waiting, just waiting for the other foot to drop. Where your stomach is churning, where you're just waiting for something that feels so foreboding and terrible that you'd rather just curl up in a ball than face reality. You'd rather look backwards than forwards. You know, we see a trace of that in our text today. Let's take a look again at verse 10. He was going, and they were gazing up to heaven. The disciples are looking at Jesus disappearing. They're hanging on to every last glimpse of him, clinging onto that glimpse of his feet. Now, physically, their eyes may be looking up toward the skies, but in reality, what are they doing? They're looking backwards. They're thinking, wasn't it great when Jesus was with us? I mean, everything was perfect when he was here. But now he's leaving us, and he's not just leaving us for a little while. He's leaving us for good. What in the world are we going to do now? I read a quote this week from Father Richard Onsworth. He said, something I found myself saying a lot recently, I suppose because I finally understood something I should have figured out years ago, is that we shouldn't ever say that Jesus came back from the dead at Easter. Now, it's not that I don't believe in the resurrection. It's because I just don't like this word, back. Jesus didn't come back to life. He went forward to life, the new life of the new creation. Now, you notice, I think, wouldn't you, if two angels suddenly were on your right and your left, you notice they were there. But the disciples are so busy looking backwards, even though they're looking up, looking backwards, trying to hold on to Jesus' feet that they don't even notice that there's angels beside them. The angels have to say, hello, hello. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? God does not want us to keep our focus looking back on what God's done in the past. No. Whether that's in our personal lives or in our lives as a church, what God wants is for us to look to what God has in store for us in the future. Now, next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. We'll be focusing on the coming of the Holy Spirit. That one day, one single day, when more people became followers of Jesus than in all of the years of Jesus' public ministry. Just think about that. That's what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 14, "The one who believes in me will do even greater things than I have done." God doesn't want us to look at what God's done in the past and stay there. God wants us to look forward to what God has in store for the future. Finally, when we find in the scriptures one more type of waiting, I want to lift up expectant waiting. He ordered them not to return or not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. And what was that promise? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. That means going from where you are all the way out to the ends of the earth. You'll receive power to do that. Beloved, you and I are called upon by God to wait. But this waiting involves purpose. We wait to listen for God. We wait to pray. And we wait so that you and I can be filled with the Spirit. Waiting is so important because when we don't wait, there are two dangers that can ensnare us and keep us from experiencing God's intention for our lives as having abundant lives. First, we can rush out without surrounding ourselves in prayer. And how many times have I done that before I really prayed about it? Which can result in disastrous and impotent outcomes. Or you and I can use praying as an excuse for doing nothing at all. I mean, imagine this, if the disciples hadn't waited until Pentecost, where the Spirit came upon them and they were empowered to share the good news in such a way that they had 3,000 more people that became followers of Jesus in one single day. None of that would have happened if the disciples had just gone out on their own without the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's also look at the other side of the coin. What if, say, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples had said, let's not just go out there yet. We're really enjoying this Holy Spirit stuff, getting filled and fire and wind and all that kind of stuff. Oh, just this wonderful, wonderful. Let's pray a bit longer, shall we? What would have happened then? 3,000 people would not have been added to their number that day. That's what would have happened. Mother Teresa once said that she spent an hour a day praying, but after her time in prayer, she then went out and she did the amazing things that God had called her to do. That little old lady, and that's what she was, a little old lady, got up from prayer with power and following the way of Jesus as she shared God's love and compassion and care for the sick and the dying on the streets of Calcutta. And not only that, that power of the Holy Spirit sent her out into the world to make a difference. She spoke to leaders of nations and they listened to what she had to say. She couldn't have done that without the Spirit. Friends, we don't pray to avoid doing. We pray so that with God's guidance, you and I might do the great things that God has for us in God's power and strength. So what are our takeaways for today? First, don't live with false hopes and anticipations that are based on human standards. That's a big one, guys. I mean, just because it's popular or just because it looks successful in somebody else's life or church or whatever doesn't mean that's what God wants for us. And don't look backwards, like those disciples desperately hanging on to Jesus' disappearing shoes. If we think the glory days are in the past, guess what? The glory days will stay in the past. But if you and I look to do what God has in store for us to do, waiting with expectation on God's promise of the Holy Spirit, then there will be plenty of glory days ahead. There will be abundant living in your life and in mine. There will be power to fulfill whatever it is that God calls you and me to be and to do. So what's next? We wait. But we wait with purpose as we first look to God. We pray. We read scripture. We worship together. We spend time every day focusing our lives on God's will and way that we see in the life of Jesus. And then, having looked to God as our power source, we look outward. We look forward. We see where it is that God is calling us, and we go to school, or we go to work, or we go wherever it is that we are led by God in faith to share our lives and our witness and our service with the power from on high. And don't worry, it will come. It will happen. God has promised the Spirit, and God is faithful, if anything. Amen? Whether you're 7 or you're 97, God's Spirit has promised to fill you and to lead you to every milestone and every day in between. So, wait and trust, and then go boldly into that future that God is holding out to you. May it be so. May it be so for our graduates. May it be so for each one of us. May it be so for our families. And may it be so for our church as we seek to fulfill God's calling in our lives and in our world. And the people of God said, amen and amen.